From the morning, we are trying to understand these hindrances. As a first hindrance, we discussed about desire for sensual pleasure. Buddha mentioned when somebody have freedom from this first hindrance, it is equal to having a freedom, have a freedom from a slavery. The second one we studied, ill will, it close to discomfort, anger. When somebody have freedom from that, that is close to being free from a jail. Just think of somebody's in the jail by having life sentence, and that person have a freedom from there. That is huge. That is equal to that. Now, then as a third one, we studied sloth and torpor. It is like somebody who had freedom as a loner. Just think you are keeping paying somebody. You are keeping paying somebody only the interest. When you are only paying the interest, you don't say that you are going to have freedom one day, because every day you are working and you are paying only the interest. But once when you can pay that whole toll, total amount, then that would make you bring lot of freedom to you. With details we studied about those three hindrances. Now is the fourth one. In Pali it's called Uddaccha Kukkuccha. Uddaccha means, sometimes it's translated like ego, which is superiority complex. It translates like superiority complex. But rather than going with those words, I invite you to understand with the feelings, which means your mind or bring a lot of details to expand yourself with ego. Like a simple example, you might think, oh, now I'm meditating this long time and I'm better than the other people who's here at first time. Or once when you have real quiet moment with meditation, it is joyful moment with meditation, relaxing moment with meditation, then next time when you sit down by expecting the same result, expecting the same joy or quietness, then even though you would say to others, oh well, I can now sit down about an hour without moving my body and my mind is real quiet. So then you give that kind of ego before you sit down. Then you sit down with it, what would be happened? You won't have it. You will not have the same experience, because that expectation would not allow you to free. It is like a expanded mind, blow out mind, Uddaccha. Actually, there are two qualities. The in Pali it's called Uddacha Kukkucha. Uddacha means that blow out mind. If I bring the another way to explain it, sometimes we work very hard. We are doing many things from the morning to evening. Maybe you are bearing many things, but there's a point that you would say, "This enough. Now I'm tired." But until that moment, you are just bearing that, handling that, or working with that, and you think that's okay. It is comfortable. Just think with balloon. You blow balloon. But there's a moment you'd find you can't blow just bit of air into it that will blow off. So that particular until that particular moment we talk about this kind of mind. The other thing is kukkucha, which means you always bring down your self-esteem, or opposite of superiority complex, inferiority complex, and you think, oh, those people, they are practicing meditation since their childhood, they are better than me, or I can't do that. Oh, you are a monk and you can do, I can do that. So all the time you pull yourself down by bringing or saying, I am lower than you. The opposite side is, this is one major place that you need to cross. One major gate that you need to cross. Because once when this comes to your mind, it is very difficult to have a freedom from it. Most of the time, people have trouble with the first one, with superiority complex. Because once when you have it, once when you involve with it, you will not listen to anybody. You will not open to anything. And also, I am an engineer and I am a doctor. Well, I can understand these teachings more than others. Hey, who are you? You are just a carpenter, or you are just a laborer. That's another way of thinking. Oh, I am a man, and I am a mother, and hey, you are just a child, and you can understand like me. That is how you bring this. Oh, now I am in this tradition, and your tradition is lower than me. Oh, I am in this caste. So somehow you bring things to say, I am better than you. Then I can understand the way beyond you. So the most important thing is that to understand, you are not open to Dhamma. You are not open to reality. All the time, by understanding the reality, bring the relaxing mind, bring the comfort, and it makes you light. It doesn't make you complicated. It doesn't make you heavier. But those two qualities either makes you heavier or makes you lazy or tired. But once when you hit with one of these, because actually it is very difficult to notice once when you involve with the first one. Because you always think, I am better than everybody else. Then you close all the gates. You close all the doors. Now nobody can teach you anything. You are the best person and you teach. There we don't open to anything. We don't open to any experience. So now this is a moment to understand the negative or positive memories in the past. With that memory, you would think, oh, I know about this person. That person is not a genuine person. Think about the political leader that the opposition party, your opposition party political leaders, think about them. Whatever the things they say, you think they are not genuine. If they say something good, you are not willing to listen to anything. While you are listening to them, you are making your own story. Then you compare with your own story. That is because of this quality. You recognize things as they exist, even they don't exist. Like when you see a person who you don't want to see, or who make you angry, or who had done something bad to you, you see that person, that memory come to you again. You say, oh, this is such a bad person. Now, where is this bad exist? If that is a picture or frame or something, you can see that again. But if that is an experience, where is that experience? Think about a beautiful place that you have been visited recently. With that memory, you come home. And then you are saying to everybody, well, that's a beautiful thing. Let me tell you one of my own experience. In Mankato, there's a national park, Miniopa Park. There's a waterfall, most of you might know. Then somebody visited me last year, then I took him to, by saying, oh, it's a beautiful waterfall and it's a wonderful. I took him there by thinking to show him a beautiful waterfall. When I was there's no any single drop of water. Then he asked me, where is the waterfall? He didn't believe me. Then now I was trying to tell, no, it was there, but now this time maybe we don't have water. I was involving with my past memory. By thinking that past memory, I believe still that is there. A picture is subject to your eyes. Sound is subject to your ears. Smell is subject to your nose. If some smell, still you can feel it. But memory is subject to what? Your mind always involved with memory, but when something turns into memory, that is not there anymore. But for us, that is wrong. We think memory is right, it is there. Then we involve with it. And based on the memory, we create the self. Based on the memory, we create the self. So memory based on something not real. Everything what you have as a memory right now, it is not there. The experience what you had yesterday, it is not here anymore. You can't find that again. But it stays as your memory. The person who you saw yesterday in the morning, that stays as a memory. You cannot find that again. The breakfast you had in the morning, it's not there anymore. It only stay in your memory, which means not there. But for your memory, it exists. You think it was there. All these negative and positive experiences are staying in your memory, it's not there. So then we are creating this kind of non-real life, self. When you place yourself, it is not real. What is real? Only this moment is real. Everything else in the past is not real anymore. Only those things stay as a memory. But we do not want to think in that way. We want to keep those things alive. That's why you are taking pictures. Pictures with pictures, you are collecting albums. You don't want past to go. You want to hold the past. Especially think about the kids, and when you have first birthday, you want to take bunch of pictures. Because you don't want to let this past go. Same time you want this kid to grow. But the past, the memory, you want to hold that memory. That's why you are trying to keep it. That is how we are building the self. The part of the building self is you are building this inferiority complex and superiority complex. Then we are stuck on the something we have created. Something we have created, we are stuck there. But we think that is real. So passing that gate is a bit more difficult because that is something what you have created. Think about anything what's in the past, you have hard time to not to think that is not there anymore. Most of the thing which is belong to this physical world is there. Now, after the retreat, by thinking of your house is there, you are going back home. But in last, hopefully nothing will happen to your house. But that stays still only in your memory. Of course, that's a different house, but for you, that's the same house. Different house means every moment things are changing, we don't notice it. You would notice it after maybe 5-6 years, you would say, oh, now this paint is fading. So it is paint fade in one moment? No, it is gradually fade, you didn't notice it. When you take your mother or father's picture, if they are alive now, and by comparing to their picture in 10 years ago, did they change their face quickly in one moment? No, that happened gradually, but we always changing our memories, but we think that the same memory we think that we are having the same memory. We think I'm seeing the same person. Every time you are getting into your house, that's a new house. But by thinking of this the same house, you are stepping into it. Every moment you are having new life, but you think this is the same life. Every moment when you see your spouse, that's a new person. But thinking of the same person, you are talking. That's the reality. But we don't see that reality. Since we don't see the reality, we want things to happen as we want. That is how we build up the ego. So because of that, we create superiority complex and inferiority complex. We stuck at something what we have created. That's why we are having hard time to cross that gate. So as a meditator, you have to practice. How do you practice? Every time when you sit down to practice meditation, open yourself for new experience. Do not rely on your last experience. Do not expect to have something what you experienced the last time. Do not expect to have painless time. Only thing is decide, okay, this is the practice I am going to do, this long I am going to sit. No matter whatever arise, do the right thing at the time without judging yourself, without judge the practice. Then every time you need to start from the new beginning. Every time think I am the beginner. That way it will allow you to see things as new. So that is the way how somebody can cross this fourth gate. We call it inferiority complex and superiority complex. So when somebody cross that gate, then we will get into the another level. It's called vichikicca. It's called vichikicca in Pali. The English translation is self-doubt. That is very easy to understand. Most of the time we find these hindrances at that point. That's the point you would say, well, today I can meditate, or in this age I cannot do that, or you have doubt. You have doubt in the few different ways, which this is very important to understand. One, you have doubt about yourself. I will explain that. Second, you may have doubt about your method or teaching, or way how you practice. Third, you may have doubts about your teachers. This is how that happened. When you practice, then you might come up with the things, well, who can meditate this long with this kind of daily activities? Nobody can do that. So then I don't have to do that too. So in this time I am very tired, my body is not really supporting me. In this age, yeah, I cannot do that. And I am a person who would respect some other things, not only these things. I want to spend time with some other things, I can't do this. That is how you, again, a little bit of merging with this superiority complex and doubt. Those working to, sometimes those are working together, and you think you use that as something reasonable thing. Well, and who won't meditate, and this is a wonderful day, and let's go for a walk, and we need to enjoy the life. Oh, my kids are coming from there, or my parents are coming, and I won't see them all the time, then I go for that. So there you find reasonable things to support this self-doubt. That is about you. The second thing is about the teachings. You might think, now I am practicing long time, so still I am at the same place. Still I haven't seen anything. Or still I am not enlightened. Then maybe the way I am doing might be the wrong. So that kind of doubt you might let to generate and grow inside of you. Third one is maybe the teachers or Buddha or some, especially about the teachings and teachers. So maybe this person is not teaching properly. So there you don't see that grasping part, and you would say, maybe this teacher is wrong. But the way how that teacher is describing is wrong. Rather than trying and practicing, then you would jump to the few different teachers by accusing everybody. By accusing the last teacher, you would jump into another teacher. Then at the beginning everything is beautiful, that's like a meditation technique. This is actually goes with meditation techniques too, and some with all the meditation techniques, with the first states of wonderful. It's a wonderful because it's a new experience. Then you would go up with, you know, it's a good meditation, I like it very much. Then after a few days, you don't see the progress, then again you lose the interest, then you look for something different. That is how our mind works with this control, with this doubt. So Buddha mentioned, as a meditator, you have to look for these hindrances. Most of the time you might catch the hindrances when you hit to this point, self-doubt point. When you hit there, recognize that the mistakes carrying with you. It's right here, it's not with outside. Then you need to get treatment for here, not to others. So once when you recognize it by bit, then that will go away from you. So those are the five hindrances. First one, desire for sensual pleasure. Second one, ill will. Third one, sloth and torpor. Fourth one, superiority complex and inferiority complex. Sixth one, self-doubt. So when you hear these words, those are just words outside, but you need to look at that from your own mind, your own experience. Then you see how these things are existing, how you are experiencing these things. In this world, in this ordinary world, this world has set up us to experience pleasure. That's why in Pali this is called the Kama Loka. World in pleasure. In this world, we will not experience anything out of these hindrances. Everything what you like, you can put into hindrance. Everything what you do, you can put into one of these hindrances and you see how that comes. But the question is, you would not find real happiness with it. That is the understanding you will get with the wisdom. Mindfulness will lead you to understand it. Once when you understand it, then you practice to not to involve with it. That is how you are turning yourself. And the Buddha said, my teachings is patisavatagami. I know you don't understand it. Patisavatagami means swimming upstream. It is very easy to swim downstream. You don't have to do anything, just you have to float. They mean water will take you. That is what we are doing with our life. Time taking us. You only need to do things by time to time. And no need to do much things. Whether you do or not, time taking you until through aging and death. With all the other bonus, with sickness and frustration and anger and all those experience. So, but going against the current is something you need to do forcefully or with effort and determination. Now think, you swim some little bit, then you stop. What would be happen? This current will take you further down. Again, to come to the point where you were, you have to do a little bit hard work. You might have experienced that sometimes you forget, you just drop the meditation. Then again, when you try to practice, you feel it is very difficult to reboot. And it is very difficult to start and have the same experience. Sometimes you become sleepy and tired and a lot of challenges and pain. If you used to meditate about hour and a half, by stopping practice about a month or two, again you will have pain by 20 minutes or 15 minutes. That is how this works. So there you need to practice continuously to see the benefits. Now who receive the benefits? Even though you are living with so many people, even though you are living with your family, even though you are living with somebody who you love, these are the things you can experience only by yourself. If you cook a meal, everybody in the family can enjoy that. Because everybody is subject to the pressure. Everybody have tools to have the pressure. But for this kind of thing, even though you practice as a family, everybody experience it individually. It depend on their mind. It depend on their wisdom. It is like by seeing something on TV, if five people, if your family look at that, somebody in the family would engage with that strongly, somebody in the family would not care what happened there, in somebody in family just take that as information. That is how we act when you have connection with your mind and wisdom. But with the once when you have experience with your senses, pleasure, that is equal. Everybody would appreciate the food. Everybody would say, oh yeah, this is a soothing music. So that's a different. But when you are not aware, mostly we are concerning about this pleasure. Only the people who are aware will start to recognize the importance about swimming upstream. Okay, so I think now we can open for one or two questions. If you have questions related to this inferiority complex and humility, can you describe a little bit about humility?
Well, there is a verse about how we should place ourselves at the lowest in the group and think of ourselves as the lowest. And I think the positive way to understand that is to say to be humble.
Humble.
Not have the superiority complex.
Yeah, thank you.
That may be a little different.
Yeah. Yeah, so then there I would say different in between inferiority complex and humble. Humble, you cannot just be humble without wisdom. When you are humble, you come to point that I'm not losing anything by being there. There you are doing it with understanding. You are not expecting anything to gain. There you are totally open, but with the inferiority complex you are not open. It's like you are covered with a cloud and you don't have enough energy and frustration there. With humble you don't have any of those. So humbleness is a practice that we introduce as an answer for the both superiority complex and inferiority complex. We introduce that as a practice. If you are aware, you may have seen the people, especially in the Vietnamese tradition and also some of our friends, when they come to this temple and they bow down to Buddha. We know that Buddha can see it. Buddha is not there anymore. This is just a symbol. Why do you do that? You respect. Then there you think you are not going to lose anything by respecting to Buddha. In Asian cultures, you respect to, you do the same practice for your parents. And you respect your parents, you respect your old age. And by doing it, you know you are not losing anything. By respecting somebody, you are not losing anything. But when ego involves, you think by respecting something, you are losing something. You are losing something really not there. But we think you are losing something. That is what we call ego. So the humble person is really rich person, rich with the heart, is not expecting anything joyful person. So, and you don't have that freedom in inferiority complex or superiority complex. Yes?
You talked about memories, the things of the past and experiences are not real because they occurred yesterday, and that sometimes we get kind of stuck on the past and instead we should live more in the present. So how do people that we loved that have died, how do we relate to that? How do we experience that or keep them in our lives with it?
Yes. So when people died, who's really love, who's really in your family, who's you really care, what do you have? We only have memories. With that memories, we won't keep them with us. But we only keep the memories of them. We have only memories of them. But they are not here anymore. So, what can you do? Can you do anything physically? Can you do anything? No, you cannot give anything. Even though if you have a dead body in front of you, you cannot do anything. Because when you have a dead body, you know there's no person anymore in that body. There's no person. That's why you claim that as a dead body. There's no person. Even though if you beat hard, that person, the dead body will not say any word. So that is the meaning of death. That person has gone. There's no person anymore. But you have memories. We have trouble with the memories. We don't know how let these memories go. Then we miss something, what we used to have there, we feel emptiness because we miss it. That empty make us uncomfortable, frustration, tired, sad, because we know this, that memory cannot fill me. Let me tell you something that I experienced. So about a year and a half ago, when I heard that my father was died, so I was going to Sri Lanka. Then in the flight, now it's a long flight, so that was the longest flight, not the time wise, because now I know that I'm going to Sri Lanka for my father's, to see the father's dead body. Every time in the past, when I go to Sri Lanka, always I ask him to not to come to airport, because I say that is not important and I can see you and stay at, oh, and come to temple in the evening. Usually, temple is my home usually. When you become a monk, temple is your home. Then parents visit the temple. So when I go back home, every time father used to come to the temple. That's a definitely sight I see. When I go there, he managed to come to airport. If sometimes when he miss, he's the first sight I would see in the temple. So the when vehicles, we have to go through the hill, mountain. When you are going towards there, then I see the father there. Then I was thinking, now I'm not going to see that anymore. When I see that, that's a space for the memory comes and disturb. It makes really sad because here something that is the part of the desire. That's the desire that you were talking about. Desire for sensual pleasure. Then how do you have it? Through your sight. You fulfill the desire through your sight. And with somebody in the family, you would have fulfilled the desire with sight, sound, by hearing their voice, sharing the nice thing, feelings, and memories, especially with whatever the things that they share. Those things really fill your space and you like it. That is how you feel this comfort zone or pleasure. You like, we like it. Now when we see that person cannot feel it, then you feel you are lost. The trouble is, we really don't miss them. We miss what they received from them. That is our trouble. So I have heard, even in the funeral homes, the people says that, now who's going to do this for me? My father or my mother or my spouse used to do this. Now who's going to take care of me? Or who's going to look after me? Who's going to cook for me? So there you are talking about the things what you miss. That is what we're going to miss. Not really person, but we receive those things, at least even the comfort, we receive those things through that person. That is our complaint. That's about desire for sensual pleasure. You recognize it. When you recognize it, what happened? You bring your understanding to realize the reality. Then you, in the reality, you know that it was in the past. It's not here anymore. I know that I won't have that anymore. In memories, there are some memories you want to keep. There are some memories you don't want to keep. How much you are struggled with those memories. You are trying to forget it, but you are having hard time to forget those memories. Think about something, you won't forget what happened last week. You may have thinking very much, you want to forget some people, or you want to forget some experience. The memories work in a similar way. So once when you learn attached to some kind of memory, the other memories also you attach to this in the similar way. So with the wisdom, allow you to see memory is not real anymore. Those people living in your memories, not in the real world, the people who passed away. So we should learn, let them go. So they already has gone. They are living in your memory. Then you should recognize it. Then by giving freedom to them, you are having the freedom. So I hope I didn't make anybody sad. Or... Yes?
So I'm getting a picture that I don't know if it's correct. So you're enlightened. You've gone through the five hindrances, and you're not going to engage, and you're disciplined with your meditation, and you're not attached to sadness or happiness, and you know, are you walking around like a zombie?
Very good question. Look at that. How much we are relying on those things. Now we understand those things are not important. Then we used to live on these not important things. Now the question is, how can you find the important life when you remove all those not important things and become nothing? Whose trouble is that? Individually, we all have that trouble. Because we are relying on these unimportant things, we claim that as a life. That is what. To understand that and becoming a person who's not relying on those things, we call awakening mind. So once when you totally start to not to rely on those things, then you are opening door to awaken yourself. So otherwise, the dreaming mind means the living on those things, not the zombie. It's a very important person. You become a joyful person, but since you haven't experienced that yet, we lost. So So once in you are moving bit by bit, then you would find that is which is more comfortable. So here we are talking about very joyful life, very joyful moment, very joyful state, and then nobody can cheat you there, and it's very comfortable.
In Christianity, a relationship with Jesus or God, you know, like a buddy, is important. What is the relationship of a Buddhist to the Buddha?
Some monks asked that from the Buddha. Buddha mentioned, have the relationship with the teachings. Even second week after becoming a Buddha, Buddha decided, I should have a relationship with my teachings. Then he placed his teaching as his teacher. The same advice he gave to all the monks and the followers. So have the relationship with the teachings. The one who protect, like a body, when you protect the body, body will protect you. Similar way, the one who protect the Dhamma, Dhamma will protect them. By protecting Dhamma means, then you are becoming a wonderful person. You practice compassion, you practice love, you practice equanimity. There you don't have any harmful life, because that will protect you again. So have a strong relationship with Dhamma, with the teaching. So, fine question at right time.
About dreams. Is there a way to observe one's own dreams?
So you want to keep the dreams, huh?
Well, I'm going to sleep.
Once when you realize dream as dream, you don't want to see the dreams anymore. Then once when you introduce mindfulness, then you can introduce even practice mindfulness even in the sleep. You can go to sleep. You can go to sleep. You can sleep mindfully. There are 14 qualities that we discuss as a result of insight meditation. The 14 benefits, actually not qualities, for 14 benefits that one can receive. First one is you can sleep mindfully, sukham supati, sukham patipunjati. You can awake mindfully. Then there will be no any dreams. So that kind of 14 benefits are there. The first one is you can sleep mindfully, wake up mindfully. There's no dreams like that. So that's a result of insight meditation. So yes, you can sleep without dreams. So that will allow you to, that will help you to keep yourself awake from the dreams that you are having as a daydreams.
Not daydreams, the dream that goes restricting.
You want to keep daydreams, huh?
Keep the daydreams.
Our time is going very fast. So we can stop here, the teachings. So now what would I do? I would encourage you to have about 10 minutes walking meditation. Then again, after 10 minutes, nobody's going to ask you to come back by 10 minutes. It's your job to come back by 10 minutes and sit down for another half an hour. Now our job is. Now you know those hindrances, and your job is, do not let these hindrances to defeat you. Protect you from the hindrances. That is your job. So again, you can practice either walking or sitting. When you involve or when you experience the hindrance, one of the hindrances, notice it. Then say, okay, this is the friend. Very important thing is, don't think it's a bad thing. Either don't think it's a good thing. Only thing, this is not a beneficial thing. There's no bad or good hindrances. Every time we experience it. If you see that as a bad thing, you don't want to see, you would justify it again with something else. Or if you want to think as a good thing, then you would involve with it. Then either way, you involve with it. There's no bad or good, just recognize it. Then it's not important for me to right now. Come back. Okay. So let's do that.